right now, we want to get to our guest who wants to sound off. Matter of fact, he's going to be rather, I would say directive about this, because the word that came to me in his media advisory was reckless in bold letters with an exclamation point. And so joining us today is David Jenkins. He is with the conservative, he is a conservative Republican, and he is calling President Trump's recent executive order that encourages offshore oil drilling reckless. Welcome to the show, Mr. Jenkins. How are you doing today, sir?
Just fine. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, yeah, you bet. Now, tell us a little bit about, reckless is kind of a loaded word. Tell us where you're coming from on this, sir.
Yeah, well, I'm with an organization called Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship, and we are pretty much what the name says. We're conservatives who really take, you know, stewardship of our planet, seriously. We like to protect, you know, as President Reagan called it, the magical planet God gave us. And our goal is really to put the conserve back in conservatism. Okay. You know, stewardship is important, whether it's with your finances or whether, you know, with your garden, your yard, anything. And we want to be good stewards of our natural resources as well.
Right. Okay. Now, why particularly do you have this challenge with offshore drilling and President Trump at this point?
Well, the executive order that he signed that you know, pretty much directs opening up not just, you know, offshore Alaska, but pretty much offshore everywhere, including marine sanctuaries. And he's doing this at a time that seems, in our view, to defy market realities. I mean, oil is trading below $50 a barrel, and according to the Department of Energy, it's not expected to go much above that any time between now and 2030. And so this executive order is like, you know, it's a hasty rush. Let's just open up everywhere. Let's look back at the safety regulations that were put in place after the Gulf oil spill, and let's try to weaken those. That's based on the executive order and what the president said while he was signing it. And our question is why? I mean, we have a glut of oil on the market. OPEC is trying to drive down prices by producing more, so that, you know, whether it's our Bakken oil shale or Alaska oil or whatever is less competitive and can't be profitable. So why in that kind of environment would we want to throw everything open to drilling? I mean, this stuff is supposed to be reviewed on a 5-year plan. There is a 5-year plan in place. With oil trading, you know, this low, why doesn't it make sense to wait until the end of that 5-year period and review it, and then in the meantime, do some things that have been, that we've needed to do for a long time. Like, for example, with offshore Arctic drilling, the Gulf Oil Spill Commission made a number of recommendations on what needed to happen before that could be done safely. Well, here's a perfect chance. Take this time, implement those things, get another icebreaker, put the resources in place, you know, make sure you can clean up a spill in those kind of conditions, and check all those boxes. Then, next 5-year plan, we can look at everything. But right now, just jumping into this in this rushed fashion, and not thinking about, you know, safety, or not thinking about what the market will bear, to us, you know, in a word, seems reckless.
Okay, so now, one of the hasty, I'm glad you brought that word up, because, you know, you had it in your quote here. It says the Trump administration's hasty move toward expanding offshore oil drilling. Being an oil producing state, one of the things that we have never seen from the federal government is hasty movement in anything. So is it possible that with the ramp time that it takes to get anything done in the federal government, that allowing it to start being looked at now is better potentially than waiting. Is that a possibility?
Well, the other alternative is that as this goes forward and these places are opened up, you're getting lease sales or and things like that happening at a time when the price of oil is low. It seems like if you're looking to maximize the benefit for you know whatever resources you do decide to develop, you should be doing all that stuff at a time when the price of oil is high, because then you command a better return on that. The federal government will command a better return on its oil leasing, and the taxpayers will benefit from that.
And the problem is that was 20 years ago when they wouldn't let us do any development or anything. So we lost peak oil prices during the Obama administration, specifically because the federal government didn't allow us to do any exploration. So that's why the oil development in the lower 48, where we are actually doing the sands and the harder to extract oil, that's why that marketplace opened up, because the easy to get to oil we weren't allowed to develop. And now it's put our state in a significant financial hardship because of the fact that we're 20 years behind on exploration.
Well, would you categorize Buford and Chukchi oil as easy to get at? I mean, some of the most
infrastructure. We have a tremendous amount of infrastructure already in place, and so yes, actually, relatively, it's a much shorter ramp up to bring a new field in the actual Arctic than it is like right out here in our backyard in the Cook Inlet, where we have offshore platforms that are doing nothing. They've been shuttered because we're not allowed to go out and look for more oil to put in the pipelines.
Well, the our concern with the Arctic is that the bipartisan oil spill commission they recommended stock assessments for marine mammals and fish and birds in those areas. They recommended a comprehensive interagency program to address oil spill containment. They wanted the oil companies to prove that they could actually address a spill in those areas. And, we've had, you've seen where oil company after oil company has actually pulled out of the area because it's costly, because they don't think it's profitable, and they think it's also risky. I mean, you might could blame some of that on...
Production is
yeah.
down. We've been in decline for 30 years. Because we're not allowed to go out and open new fields that we know exist that are contiguous to our existing infrastructure. And to be actually correct, there are no offshore wells in the Arctic. In the subarctic, here in Cook Inlet, we have offshore wells. In the Arctic, we actually build islands to the drilling platform so that it isn't offshore. It's actually on an island that we built so that we don't have the problems that we had down in the Gulf Coast.
And
Sullivan, our senator, has asked for the icebreakers that you want to have happen. It's just a matter of the federal government actually coming up with the money to put icebreakers out there, which they haven't done.
Well, yeah, and even if they start building them today, it's going to be possibly 10 years before the first one rolls off. And even that one, because we have so few, would have to be split.
Which will be 2 years before a new production could come online.
Right, but that icebreaker would have to be split, would be doing split duty with Antarctica and the Arctic, which is kind of a far distance to try to split one good icebreaker. The only other icebreaker we have is so old and decrepit that it's not reliable.
Right. But Alaska doesn't fund those. That's the federal government, and the federal government...
No, well, yes, and I'm 100% with you that the federal government should be funding more of those icebreakers. In fact, there should be an icebreaker dedicated to that specific area if you're going to consider oil production.
Outstanding. On that, we're going to go to our break. Thank you very much. Hold on for just a moment. You're listening to Sound Off on KSRM. It's Thursday, June 15th, currently 50 degrees outside. Sound Off time is 9:18.
You live life your way. You know what you like and what you don't. This is what makes you unique. You're not grim, boring, or standard in any way. You're you. So why not have a funeral that reflects who you really are? Music that means something, flowers that you like, a location that matters, a wonderful farewell, and no burden to others. Pre-plan for your funeral now with Peninsula Memorial Chapel and Crematory. And get on with enjoying your life. 283-3333.
Sweeney's is celebrating Father's Day with all Carhartt men's apparel 20% off, excluding flame resistant. All extra tough boots 15% off. And last, save on all Filson and Pendleton wear 20% off. Dad's going to love these gifts, and you're going to love the savings right now at Sweeney's in Sylvania. Wishing all the dads a happy Father's Day. Treat Dad this Father's Day to a special Father's Day Sunday brunch at Golden International. Dad will enjoy prime rib, walnut shrimp, orange chicken, and there's 10 upscale dishes to try, plus a variety of sushi rolls, a fabulous salad bar, and dessert bar. Everything Dad will enjoy. Bring the whole family, or make it a special day just for you and him. The Father's Day Brunch Buffet is from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Make your reservation now for Golden International. 262-7862. Golden International.
You want to stick a needle where? Don't worry. We understand, and that is why Dr. Alvarez has spent the last 12 years perfecting the no-needle, no-scalpel vasectomy. This is one area you definitely want a surgeon with plenty of experience. If your family is complete and you have been considering a vasectomy, this is a procedure for you. Your quick, virtually painless surgery will be performed in a private office setting, and you can put the issue of family planning behind you with no needle in sight. Call Peninsula Surgery and Aesthetics at 262-5111 to schedule your no-needle, no-scalpel vasectomy.
Welcome back to Sound Off on KSRM. This is the one, Radio 92. If you want to take part in the conversation, give us a call, 283-5811. Text machine is currently in a reboot, but go ahead and text us if it comes to your mind. 1-907-283-5811. The extra digits may be required depending on your service provider. We're visiting with David Jenkins. And he is a conservative Republican who is very concerned about the environment and has some issues with some of the moves made by current President Trump. Now, Mr. Jenkins, I do have to say I made a slight overstatement when I said I've never seen the federal government move hastily. The exception would be during the past administration when President Obama flew to Alaska, went and looked at a couple of tourist attractions, and then made life even more difficult by penning in even more restrictions to development. So what is the happy balance here that the state of Alaska has to be at for conservative Republicans like yourself to allow us to move forward with an economy that is based on oil production?
Well, I certainly believe that you don't need overbearing regulations that stymie oil and gas development anywhere. I mean, there's certain places where oil and gas development make perfect sense. Our organization is certainly not opposed to oil and gas drilling and exploration. What we do have an issue with is trying to cut corners in doing so. And, there's other values to protect besides just the oil. The other thing for a state like Alaska is, I mean, you know, your state is heavily dependent on oil and gas revenue. Some would argue way too much so, because anytime you're tied to a commodity price, as that goes up and down, so do your fortunes, and it's kind of hard to do budget planning that way.
But here's the deal. You know why we're tied to that one industry so tightly? Because the federal government decided that we needed to be protected from ourselves, and currently 97% of the land mass in our state is controlled by the government. We only have 3% private ownership of land in the state of Alaska. So for us to do anything, very difficult, very expensive. It's not so much the technology for actually doing the work, it's the expense that is added to it by having to deal with the federal government at every turn.
Well, so, and that certainly can be a burden, but I think it's still incumbent.
By tying it up. 97% of the state is tied up right now.
Mm-hmm. Alaska does share in revenue that comes from some of those federal lands as well. And the state has a robust fishing industry, has a robust tourism industry. I personally think Alaska would be a great potential for tech industries because of the lifestyle that's offered up there. My wife and I actually got married in Alaska, in Copper Center. I've been back a couple times. Yeah, not as much as I like.
I know you're a big canoe enthusiast. Have you canoed any of the drainages here?
We've sea kayaked in Prince William Sound, and in down in Kenai, around in there.
Well, that's where we're. We're actually right in Kenai at the mouth of the Kenai River, is where we're broadcasting from today.
Yeah, so even if you spend 3 or 4 weeks up there going around, you go look at the map and you say, okay, well, we've not covered very much. But
there is a lot of us. There is a lot of land up here. That is for sure.
Yeah, but the other thing with opening places up to oil and gas leasing when the price of oil is low and it's not really profitable for companies to produce it, you have the specter of oil companies securing leases basically just to satisfy shareholders and with no real knowledge of whether or not they will ever develop them or not. And that really doesn't help.
That's why we changed the rules and said, if you don't develop it, we will take it back from you and resell it.
Well, supposedly that's the rules, but we can cite countless examples of oil wells that have been inactive for plenty of time, and the lessee still owns the rights to them.
I'm not saying it's an easy take back. I'm just saying that's the mindset in Alaska now, is that if you don't develop it, we will take it back from you.
Yeah, but if you wait through the 5-year plan, oil prices are projected to still be low until 2030. You still got plenty of time to reevaluate that before prices rebound. If they do, we don't know that. I mean, that's an uncertainty.
There's two sides to the sword that we're dealing with here. One is production, and two is price. And in the past, as you talked about our volatility, we were able to ride those out because of those two factors not being aligned. We were able to keep our production up in times of low price, and in the times of high price when production had fallen off, it worked out. But now we got the double whammy. We have low price and low production. So for a state that is 80%, 90% dependent on oil revenue to run the state, the actual state, the government, we have to increase oil production or wait for the price of oil to come up. Either way, you end up in the situation where we're at right now, where we're looking at shutting the government down at the end of the week.
But for companies, it doesn't make sense for them to produce a whole bunch of oil when the price is low. If it's a higher cost resource to develop.
But again,
they're going to go for the cheapest oil they can to develop when the price is low, and then if the price goes higher, they'll move into places that are a little more costly.
And that's why we had the development of the three major fields down in the lower 48, is because the federal government and people concerned, rightfully so, good concern, we understand, but those cost factors are what drove our existing oil industry into a non-competitive situation, and it was less expensive to develop new technologies to get harder to extract oil. Sands oil is hard to extract, but that became so much more cost effective because of what we did to the oil industry. I mean, we don't even pump up here. Do you realize that? We punch a hole in the ground and it flows out. We're not pumping like California does. We're not pumping like Texas does. That's how easy the oil is to get out of the ground once you find it and put a hole in it. We don't have to use extraction techniques and the fracturing techniques that you guys are using in Lower 48. We have relatively easy to get to oil, especially since we've been doing it for half a century. We know how to operate, but nobody seems to believe us.
Yeah, but the exploration cost and the transportation cost of the oil, that mitigates that to some degree.
Well, we have the pipeline already. It's been here for years. And it's
well, I mean, once it gets to Valdez, there's still transportation. And, you know, a lot of people in the lower 48, especially people on the political right, one thing they get really annoyed about is when we take oil that's produced here and we ship it over to markets in Asia and other places. Even though, you know, we both understand oil is a globally traded, priced commodity.
US today. Try and build a pipeline linking our North Slope to America. Try building a pipeline. Have you been listening to what's been happening in the Midwest? Try and build a pipeline today. I mean, come on, really? All right.
Yeah,
half hour, or how you doing over there, Mr. Jenkins?
Oh, I'm fine.
Okay, all right. Well, we're going to go to a break for ABC World News. When we come back, we'll see if maybe some of the callers are ready to ask you some questions. All right, sir? Is that good with you?
Okay, great.
All right, we'll be back after local news here on KSRM. This is Sound Off on the One Radio 92. That's right, serving Kenai, Soldotna, and Homer, KSRM, the One. ABC World News on the One.
Now, news of the Kenai in Alaska, brought to you by the Porterhouse Grill. Now open in Soldotna. Call 953-8210.
Alaska legislators are facing growing pressure to resolve their differences. With just days left in the special session and the threat of a government shutdown looming, Friday marks the end of the special session called by Governor Bill Walker in order to address the budget and a plan for Alaska's multi-billion dollar state budget deficit. Deep philosophical divides stalled progress during the proceedings' extended regular session. With the start of the new fiscal year just over 2 weeks away, talks have turned to the budget and efforts to avoid a government shutdown. Senate Majority Leader Peter Michicki says the Senate is willing to back off some of its priorities in order to get a budget passed. One of the issues facing the legislature is an impasse over oil and gas taxes and budget reforms. That's news of the Kenai in Alaska. I'm Jennifer Williams.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ty Bell, Advanced Specialist of Alaska. We love meeting and taking great care of our patients.
He listened to what I was saying and what I felt. A lot don't do that, and he was fantastic. He put me completely at ease.
If you or someone you know suffers with varicose veins, Courtney, what should they do?
Call Vein Specialist of Alaska today.
In Soldotna, it's 262-1900 or veinspecialistofalaska.com.
This Saturday and Sunday at Twin City Raceway, it's the Alaska State Motocross Championship. Hundreds of racers from all over the state battling out for points in this series race. Admission is $5 per person. 10 years of age and under get in free. On Father's Day, all dads get in free, and all active military always gets in free. For more info, contact Lacey at 252-9115. It's Alaska State Motocross this weekend at Twin City Raceway. The gate drops at 10 a.m.
The difference between an average home and a beautiful home may be something as simple as the company you choose. And when you choose Ground Up Custom Builders, you choose to have a company that has your back. From custom new builds to remodels to decks and roofing, if you can dream it, Ground Up Custom Builders can make it a reality. Built professionally and right the first time. Like them on Facebook and call 776-7604. That's 776-7604. Ground Up Custom Builders, providing Alaskans with quality craftsmanship.
Welcome to Subway.
Hi, I'd like, let me guess, the usual. Come on, mix it up a bit.
Who are you?
My conscience? No, your stomach. Let's try something different, like the Big Hot Pastrami Melt. New freshly baked rye bread topped with a hearty portion of pastrami, American cheese, pickles, and yellow mustard.
Oh, wow, that does sound good.
See, we should listen to me more often.
Introducing the Big Hot Pastrami Melt. Bold flavor from a better Subway. Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Welcome back to Sound Off on KSRM. This is the one, and if you want to take part in the conversation today, give us a call. 283-5811 is the number to call, or you can text us, 1-907-283-5811. We are looking at the text block right now. Right now, we also have on the phone with us, we have David Jenkins, and he is a concerned conservative Republican. And the concern centers around offshore oil drilling in the Arctic. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Jenkins. How are you holding up, sir?
Just fine.
Okay, good. Now, before we went to the break, there was a couple of things that you mentioned that I'd like to revisit. One was you forwarded the concept that maybe we depend too heavily on oil production for funding the state. Is that an accurate representation of your statement?
Yes, and you know, I think that that's a prevalent view even there in Alaska, that there's a problem there that needs to be resolved.
Absolutely, and I agree with you. Now, here's the challenge. Your premise is that we need to be very, very, very careful about how we do development in the Arctic and the subarctic, which is the top and bottom half of Alaska. Here's where we find ourselves, though. If you were an alien sitting in a spaceship outside the Earth, you could look at the state of Alaska, and one of the things you would see is the second largest gold deposit on the face of the planet. It is so large that we can see it from space. Guess what we don't get to develop because of the EPA?
Are you talking about Pebble?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I guess
and blocked that development. So if we do the same thing with oil.
Well, but think about the Pebble thing real quick for a second. You know, a lot of the opposition to the Pebble mine are folks right there in Alaska, because there's issues with the drainage there that goes into Bristol Bay, and it could threaten the commercial fishing industry. So that's a legitimate economic concern that ought to be weighed. And then when you talk about gold mining, you know, we're talking about multinational corporations, and a lot of that gold benefits, you know, companies that are not really U.S. companies anyway.
British
and Oil companies are multinational too. But, yeah. You know, you got Rio Tinto and those companies. And that wealth comes out of Alaska. And then if there's any, degradation of the environment, people there are left holding the bag. And, it would be the same thing in Bristol Bay if the Trump administration said, okay, we're going to sell leases in Bristol Bay and put oil drilling rigs there. I don't suspect the commercial fishing industry would be thrilled about that.
On that note, I'm going to let you talk to a shareholder from the Bristol Bay area. This is Bristol Bay Mike. He is a regular contributor to the show. He is a native Alaskan from the Bristol Bay area, and he has some significant thoughts on development in Bristol Bay. Bristol Bay Mike, I'd like you to meet David Jenkins, our guest today. What's your thought on development in Bristol Bay?
Well, from listening to David there, David, you're concerned about taking care of the land. Well, and you don't want no development, is from what I get. Well, let me explain something to you.
Well, just to clarify that, I'm not saying no development. I'm saying when you do development.
Well, you just mentioned Bristol Bay.
Oh yeah, Bristol Bay. Yes, true.
I'm a resident of Bristol Bay. I belong to Village Corporation, Regional Corporation. Grew up. I'm 60 years old. My family still lives there. We're a prominent family in that village. We run the village. Okay? Now, I grew up there, and all my life, I've never seen a rich fisherman. We've got billions of dollars of resources. Fishing is not the only resource. We have the largest, Tom said, that you could see it from space, there's gold. Bristol Bay Native Corporation owns the land right next to Pebble. And, sir, what do you think is under their land? The same thing. Okay, and then you say, wait. Well, let me tell you something. I'm still waiting for my title from the federal government. If you're concerned, you people ought to be. The federal government never gave us the title, sir, to my 160 acres. And what I'm saying is this. They are responsible for taking care of that land. There should be no problems with nobody removing gravel, sand, and whatnot from federally owned land. Well, they are, sir. They have ruined my land. They have removed gravel from my land. If you're concerned about what's going on with the federal government in Bristol Bay area, let us develop. You understand? Not everybody wants to keep it that way. I am a...
Who's taking the gravel?
Development, sir. Responsible development of Pebble Mine. I'd like to see the native corporations work with the state and the federal government in helping the people of Bristol Bay. You can't sit on billions of dollars and expect these people to stick their hand out. That's not what they want. I want development. Is that clear?
All right, Mike.
Yeah, but you said a key word.
Mike, to clarify, Mike, who is responsible for the removal of the gravel and the detriment to your land, Mike?
The federal government has title. In the federal law, it states that they are responsible to maintain and manage it as is. And if anybody removes anything from that piece of land while they're holding it, it is their responsibility to punish the people, or they're under control to manage the land.
Yeah, so you're talking about enforcement, and I agree with you 100% on that.
Yeah, I'm going to let Mr. Jenkins answer your question, Mike, all right?
Yes,
so I'm going to mic you down. Thank you very much for calling in.
So I definitely agree with Mike that if there's degradation happening on land that, the American citizens own, they're in the public, it's in the public trust, that the federal government has a duty to police that and to do proper enforcement. The problem we've run into is that Congress doesn't appropriate a lot of money for that enforcement, and you have a situation where the law enforcement people, you know, you have one person for every, you know, so many million acres, and it becomes a big problem. So, you know, one answer to that, it's not the only answer to that, but one answer to that is trying to get more revenue dedicated to enforcing, you know, the laws that we have governing our public lands.
All right. And on that, Mr. Jenkins, we're going to go to a break. Thank you very much for being with us. We'll be back in just a moment on KSRM. Sound off time is 9:43.
When you have a tree to remove or a stump to grind, call Twin Rocks Enterprises at 252-6035. Brush chipping, debris hauling, tree removal, pruning, and stump grinding, they do it all. And with a 70-foot aerial man lift, they can handle all your tree jobs. Whether it's fireproofing your yard or making improvements, call Twin Rocks Enterprises at 252-6035. With over 35 years' experience, licensed and insured, Twin Rocks Enterprises, dealing with trees since 1978.
Dr. James Julian has been providing excellence in dental care to the Peninsula residents for 25 years. That's longer than anyone else in Kenai. His success is based on good old-fashioned values like being on time for your appointments, spending the time to listen and address your concerns, and always treating you the way he would want to be treated himself. To experience the difference that has made him Kenai's hometown dentist, give the office a call at 283-4857. New patients can receive a free initial examination as his way of saying welcome to the family. That's Dr. James Julian, 283-4857.
The Bridge Lounge in Soldotna will be hosting every day of the week this spring and summer a sip and sit party. What's a sip and sit party, you ask? Well, it's simple. Order your favorite margarita, beer, wine, whiskey, martini, or other beverage, then find a seat next to a couple of your friends, maybe on the heated covered deck or inside, and then sit back and sip. That's all there is to it. Join your friends tonight at the Bridge Lounge for a sip and sit party.
Hook in the arm, we take them out no harm. Hook in the eye, we're your guy. Hook in the rear, have no fear. No matter the hook, no matter the place, in your foot or on your face, we take them out all with no pain. You can be hooked and released, all to your gain. Don't be a cynic, come see us at Family Medical Clinic. We're located at 206 West Rockwell, across from the emergency room in Soldotna. Call us, 907-262-7566. Family Medical Clinic, where your health matters. Or find us on Facebook.
And there's the 3-2 pitch. Oh, he got a hold of that one. It's going, gone. No, foul ball. Sounds like someone got a baseball souvenir. Poor guy.
Hey, coach. That was your truck that just got hit by a baseball.
You better call Randy's Glass first thing in the morning and get that taken care of.
Randy's Glass for energy-efficient windows for your office or home to windshields for your vehicle. Insurance accepted. Call today, 283-9483. Randy's Glass, a proud supporter of Oilers baseball.
Not again.
Who's your daddy? Nothing says Father's Day like a single malt scotch. And daddies deserve crowns, too. Country Liquor in Kenai has over 50 scotches to choose from. And yes, they have the coldest beer in town. Get some cold beer for that hot daddy with non-traditional beers for non-traditional dads. You can even add some sparkle to your father's with sparkling wine from around the world. So this Father's Day, remember, who's your daddy? And get your dad something special from Country Liquor in Kenai.
Welcome back to KSRM. This is the one, Radio 92. The show is Sound Off. And if you'd like to sound off, the number to call is 283-5811. We're visiting with David Jenkins. He's a conservative that's concerned about the environment. And we've been discussing oil development. We touched a little bit on Bristol Bay Mike's concerns. Bristol Bay Mike really wants some roads in his area so that he can actually help develop the alternative economies that we've talked about. And so Bristol Bay Mike wants some roads, wants some development so that the people in his village can flourish. Now, the challenge here, Mr. Jenkins, is that when we look at the history of management by the federal government, we have terrible horror stories. And one of the big ones brought up by contributor number 44 is that he wants you to address the timber industry in Alaska, which no longer exists because of the federal shutdown of the areas that were being harvested. So how do we know that more federal interference in oil isn't going to end up with the same end game as federal interference in the forestry industry?
Well, I think if you look at the problems that sort of beset the forestry industry in Southeast Alaska, there are certainly lease timber lease sales, and there's been the government in some ways, the Department of Agriculture, has been protecting certain areas in the Tongass, allowing them to be harvested and so forth. But still you have this logistical issue that's a major problem. I mean, timber in across America is really not very profitable. But in Southeast Alaska, that problem is compounded because of location. It's just, it's really hard to create a robust forestry industry when that product has to travel so far, and other places where you're harvesting timber don't. Whether it's people harvesting in Asia or whether it's people harvesting in the lower 48, so that's a problem. And I would say that is the root of a lot of that. Certainly, there's efforts to protect certain parts of the Tongass, and you don't want to strip or clear cut the whole Tongass National Forest, so that there are restrictions there. But at the same time, whenever you do have timber production, you look at the bottom line and it's not very profitable. So that's part of the problem there. And with the oil industry thing, I think if you think that the Trump administration, however long it's in place, is going to open up the panacea of this stuff and it's going to make everything more profitable. The problem is that, like you talked about, the long-term horizons of getting things to development and so forth. To us, as conservatives, responsibility, being prudent, doing things with a sort of an outlook toward the long haul to our children, our grandchildren, that's part of conservatism. And if we develop these resources in a way that cuts corners, if we allow industry to cut corners, if we don't have the technology in place to do it responsibly, and there are accidents like happened in the Gulf of Mexico or like happened in Prince William Sound, those things create a backlash in terms of public opinion. So the thing is, you're going to have a long-term stability of ability to develop if you make extra care that you're doing it correctly. And we don't have these accidents, and we don't have these big headlines. Senator Murkowski claimed that, Alaska oil development was the gold standard of the industry. And shortly thereafter, there was an issue with the pipeline corrosion and the spills on the North Slope. And, that's what you're dealing with then. So, I think it's incumbent for anyone who cares about oil production to do it right.
That has been in place for almost 50 years, and that's what's starting to
leak
because we're not allowed to go out and do anything with anything. I mean,
well, the oil company certainly have pipeline company.
It's a two-locked box. You guys are saying don't touch anything, don't do anything, don't build any infrastructure anywhere to address any issues of any type that would, oh my God, decrease the cost of development. We're not going to allow you to do any of that stuff, and then we're going to hit you with a stick when accidents happen. And the accidents are going to happen because we're not allowed to do anything to prepare for the accidents.
So are you saying the federal government somehow is preventing keeping the Trans-Alaska pipeline in a good state of repair in terms of replacing sections?
No, we were talking about the leaks that we had here in the Cook Inlet. And that is...
No, I was talking about up on the North Slope.
Okay, yeah, we had some minor leaks.
Well, there was a recent gas leak in Cook Inlet, too, but
which was minor.
This was back quite a few years ago.
Which one? Army, which one?
Excuse me?
The gas leaks in the quick inlet were relatively
recent. No, I was referring back to something that happened probably 8-10 years ago up on the North Slope, where there was a big, pretty good sized oil spill, on some of the feeder lines going into the Trans-Alaska pipeline.
And what was the total?
And it wasn't detected for quite a few days, because they didn't have, the leak detection technology inside the thing, so they were just relying on people driving by and listening to, whether or not they heard a leak or not.
Well, and stories like that, fair. You know, there are going to be accidents in the industry, but here's the question. What other country would you rather have developing energy than America? We're better at it, safer at it, more concerned about it than any other player in the industry.
Yeah, we have, I mean, well, you can argue that, but to do that, we need to have strong standards that in terms of development. And if you've got a president saying that she wants to weaken those standards.
We have the highest industrial standards in the industrialized world. How much higher do the standards need to be? We still have to be competitive in the world market, as you pointed out. We're going to pause right there. When we come back, we'll wrap things up here on Sound Off. It's KSRM, Thursday, June 15th. Currently 50 degrees outside. Sound Off time is 9:54.
You know what?
What?
I think I want to go to Acapulco.
Acapulco, Mexico?
No, Acapulco Mexican restaurants in Kenai, next to Safeway.
Oh, yeah, I love that place. They've got a menu, so many different Mexican dishes to try, and I really love those daily specials.
Absolutely, hands down great Mexican food. Oh, and make sure to grab their coupon out of the Peninsula Clarion.
So, we going to Acapulco then?
You know it. I'm flying, you're buying.
Acapulco Mexican restaurant, next to Safeway in Kenai.
Twin Cities Veterinary Clinic presents the 14th Annual Dog Jog and Fun Walk, Sunday, June 18th at 2 p.m. Join Twin Cities Vet Clinic for either a 3.3-mile fun run with your pooch or enjoy the relaxing pace of the fun walk. Both events kick off at 2 p.m. at Twin Cities Veterinary Clinic, with proceeds headed to the Angel Fund, helping provide for sick and injured pets in need of financial assistance. Call 262-4581 to sign up or pick up a registration form at the front office. Twin Cities Veterinary Clinic's 14th Annual Dog Jog and Fun Walk, Sunday, June 18th, 2 p.m.
Leah's Boutique, offering you the ultimate in intimates. You have to get into Leah's because they have doubled their bra inventory with tons of new bras. Leah's has items on sale up to 75% off. Check out their daily blowout sales posted on Facebook and find them at Leah's Boutique Soldotna. Leah's also has almost half their inventory on sale with tons of new items that must go. Leah's Boutique, just outside Soldotna, next to Harley Davidson.
So, you're looking for a great place to eat. Somewhere where you could listen to live music and have fun with your family and friends. Let me introduce you to Hooked Ale House and Grill. Family friendly with a game room. Live music every night with Hobo Jim performing on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And a menu that has an Alaskan flair. Featuring fresh Alaskan seafood. Prime rib, Tustamita Smokehouse Salmon BLTs, and local beers. Open every night for dinner from 5 p.m. to midnight. Hooked Ale House and Grill in Soldotna.
Central Peninsula Family Practice and Pediatrics in Soldotna is led by board-certified family physicians Allison Smith and Christopher Gray, and board-certified pediatricians Rachel Walden and Alex Russell. Together, they provide comprehensive medical care for the whole family in a friendly environment. Central Peninsula Family Practice and Pediatrics is located in the Binkley Medical Plaza at 245 Binkley Street in Soldotna. If you're looking for a patient-centered family medical home, call 714-4111.
Hey folks, this is Jerry Stock. I'm booking excavation and site work projects for Jerry's Track Hoe and Dozer Service for the 2017 season. Here are four reasons you should call me. Affordable with low overhead, 35 years experience, I know soils conditions and construction methods. I give my customers options and the best cost-effective approach to their projects. I'm dependable, considerate, friendly. I'm Jerry. Call me and we both win.
740-3222.
This ain't no dog and pony show.
Wow. Welcome back to KSRM. This is Sound Off on the One Radio 92. And if you'd like to sound off, give us a call, 283-5811. We're coming down to the end of the hour, but here's the good news. We have another hour, and Karen McGann, sexy, sweet smile, curly hair. Yep, all that and a bag of chips right here on KSRM Sound Off. I'm trying to get her to look over her paper at me, but there she is. She's out enjoying the sunshine. We've been visiting with David Jenkins. He is with Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship. It's a national nonprofit grassroots organization founded on the premise that environmental stewardship and natural resources conservation are inherently conservative, and that the true conservative will be a good steward of the natural system and resource that sustain life on Earth. Mr. Jenkins, we were not an easy audience for you today. I want to thank you for your patience and taking part in the conversation and invite you up to try out some of our canoe trails up here. Are you up for it?
I would love that. and thank you for having me on.
Yeah, we have some nice people, so you don't have to actually even talk to me. But if you come up and spend some time in the Kenai Peninsula, which is all the best of Alaska in one place, you could come by. I got a nice leather chair here. We could have another conversation about responsible development. Does that sound like a plan?
That would be great.
And you can bring your wife, too.
Yeah. Yeah, my daughter, by the way, is named Alieska, so.
Oh, good job. Well done, sir. Well done, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, the capstone on this is we're right there with you, sir. We want responsible development. But the tag of it is development. And right here on the Cook Inlet, where we have, I think we have 12 or 13 offshore platforms right here in the Cook Inlet, here's the challenge we face. We have $45 billion that's been approved from companies to invest into the infrastructure here in the Cook Inlet. But because the government likes to change its mind, that $45 billion is on hold. So it's not benefiting the borough, it's not benefiting the state, it's not benefiting the federal government, and it's all because of the indecisiveness of government entities. So that's the balance point there. How do we get $45 billion worth of investment that's already been approved to happen if the government can't keep out of the way? Mr. Jenkins, we look forward to having you on the show again. That's going to do it for KSRM, the One, Radio 92. You listening to ABC World News next on KSRM. Soldotna, Kenai, Homer.